For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast. We'll be here with a new episode for you right after this quick note.
It's playoff time and the usual suspects are headed to Vegas for the championship. And our partner, BetOnline, is your number one source for your football odds, stats, trends, and lines. With everything from point spreads to hundreds of bets on everything from the coin toss to the color of the Gatorade, BetOnline is your number one source for your championship wagering. Head to BetOnline and join today to get into all the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast. My name is James Williams, a reporter and editor for the Orange County Register and the Southern California News Group. And as always, I'm joined here by former UCLA linebacker Josh Woods. Josh, there's been some things kind of going on today. What's up?
I mean, I think everybody knows what's going on, what time it is,
yeah, and
what we're here to discuss. After all the speculation, after all the rumors, today it finally happened. Chip Kelly has left UCLA football program to be the offensive coordinator for Ohio State.
Yeah, it's been kind of wild. So obviously the last couple of days, I've been waiting for this. There was a point in time where I was like, oh, he's going to the Raiders, he's going to the Commanders, and then those positions got filled. Now that, okay, I can chill again. It's all over. He's coming back. You know, you got Jerry Neuheisel gets a promotion to passing game coordinator. Tim Drevno, the offensive line coach, gets a promotion to running game coordinator. And then you had Cody Whitfield get named the special teams coordinator along with his duties as the cornerbacks coach. So I'm like, oh, he's staying. There's no problems here. And then, you know, I started writing, it looks like he's staying, yada, yada, yada. And then the report comes out that, oh, Ohio State's opening up because Bill O'Brien is going to take the Boston College job. He may also be in play for the Seattle Seahawks still. And then, so I'm setting my alarm for a couple different times in the morning, right? I had it for like 9 a.m., 10 a.m., and like 9:30. And you know how I am. I'm not a morning person. So I had to set my alarm so I can turn it off on my phone and then look at my phone, see if anything happened. If not, I went back to sleep. And then once it finally happened, it happened at like 10 a.m. And I've been, I've had Chip Kelly on my mind ever since 10 a.m. this morning, because that's all I've done is written about this man all day. But
wow.
Yeah.
That was crowds of crazy statement.
It's true though, that's what happened. So anyways, as someone who spent more time with Chip Kelly than I have and has spent a number of days with him, you've been there with him. He was your coach, you were there before he got there. I mean, just tell me what was going through your mind as all this kind of happened. And then we'll get into a little bit of the advice you would have for current players, but where were you at? How did you find out about Chip heading out, and just kind of what is your overall reaction to the news?
I mean, I just seen Kane Medrano tweet, and I was like, you don't just randomly tweet that. With the mind blown.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, I seen that, and then I think I seen one of the running backs or something.
Yeah,
tweeted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. tweeted for Coach Foster to be the head coach. So I was like, okay, they know, like, Chip must be out. You don't go on Twitter tweeting about a new coach if you still have a head coach. So I was like, oh, they must have been told today and the news will come out. And then shortly after, it was.
Yeah, it came out and it was just wild because you saw the tweets and I started trying to check in with people like, yo, what's going on? What's happening? Yada, yada, yada. And then all of a sudden, like, yeah, everyone just started, like, it just started coming out that he was gone. Apparently, he was very emotional during the meeting, during the conversation he had with them. He was on campus. He went, he talked to them. I guess he didn't tell them where he was going at first. But he did tell them he was leaving. So once that happened,
they found out soon enough and they will see him soon enough.
They found out soon enough. It did become official Friday evening that he's going to not only be the offensive coordinator, but he's going to be the quarterback's coach there at Ohio State. But did you get any flashbacks come to mind for you? Obviously, maybe it was a little bit of a different situation with Jim Mora. And then obviously with Chip Kelly coming in, but like any flashbacks for you or any of it seems similar to what kind of happened while you were there?
I mean, those conversations are definitely awkward, but you know what time it is when you get notified that you have a team meeting and the AD's there. And yeah, it was definitely, I mean, different circumstances. It's kind of for Chip to be emotional is kind of surprising, I would say, seeing as though like he's choosing to leave and he was, you know, going on interviews. So it was kind of clear that he wanted to, you know, that's why it's like him being emotional is kind of, I won't say out of character, but like for the situation, what the situation is, him being emotional is kind of strange.
Yeah.
Because it's like, if you want to leave, you're not going to be, you know, like, if you're forced to leave, if that was the case where he's being, like, he was told to leave, then I would understand. You know, if you get fired, okay, you're emotional because you have attachment to the program and the kids. I don't know if him and Martin Jarman had a situation where he was told to, you, like, you should maybe move on. And, like, there were some interviews going on behind the scenes of him, you know, having a replacement. And this was the method they did it instead of Chip getting fired, and that was the situation. I've already started seeing conspiracies on Twitter of of people saying they think it's going to happen, or they know who's going to get hired. And
oh Lord,
yeah, but yeah, those conversations are definitely awkward because I mean, for Morris, it was Morris' birthday. He came in like we had a like an emergency text message that we had a team meeting. Moore shows up, says, you know, he loves us and it's unfortunate that he's getting fired as the business. Then as soon as he leaves, Guerrero comes in at the time, the AD, and tells us like, yeah, we're going to search for a new coach. And I imagine this was kind of similar. He probably got a text or they're about to maybe even work out or just finish working out. And probably they got told we're going to have a team meeting. Chip's probably in there telling them, like you said, I guess emotional, telling them that he's leaving. He probably left, and then Martin probably, you know, came and started talking to the team about what's the next step.
Hey, everybody, just wanted to take a quick break to remind you guys that the football season is right around the corner, and when you're headed out to the Rose Bowl, what better shirt to wear than a Believe in UCLA Football Podcast shirt? By doing that, you're going out, you're going to the game, you're supporting your team, and you're supporting your favorite podcast at the same time. Some of the proceeds go back to the podcast and help support the content and the different things that we have planned going forward. So what better way to, again, support your team and your favorite podcast than by picking up the shirts? Now, where can you find these shirts? They're available at the Believe Network store, and we made it very easy for you. Scroll down on this podcast. Check out the description. I got two links there for you for two different shirts. Make sure you check them out. Find the one that's right for you. And hopefully I see you wearing them out at the game. I'd love to see you wear them.
I guess I'll go straight into what my advice would be to the guys that are on the program currently. And I think it's do what's best for you. I think for us, the Mora kids, it definitely united us and made us closer because usually when you have a new staff, that comes in. They look to see, you know, who the leaders are, who the guys are. But at the same time, they usually come and bring their own guys in. And you just never know how things are going to turn out, your situation. Then things might change, you know, schemes might change and that type of thing. But I wouldn't just immediately jump ship. For me, you know, I ultimately decided to stay. I was coming off of a shoulder surgery, and I didn't know what I wanted to do. I know I could hop in the portal. At the time, the portal was new, so it's kind of like a don't know what's going to happen, but like, I know other teams would be interested, and I'll have somewhere to go. But Coach Pelham ultimately got the linebacker job, and it's a familiar face, and I was familiar with him and what he stands for and the person he was. So that ultimately got me to stay. But for, yeah, the guys currently, I would just, you know, I seen Martin say, like, told the players, like, give it like 96 hours, you know, for the probably the next coach to be in, which is really fast for a coaching search at this point. But yeah, I would definitely wait and weigh all your options, see who comes in, see the situation. Because one thing that, like, people don't understand or, like, aren't looking at from the perspective of not having the best recruiting class in that, it's like, as a player, it's your opportunity to step up and be a guy. Like, you have even if players are looking like, dang, UCLA doesn't have much, you could come and be a guy, like, immediately.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, I mean, all those things factoring in, like I said, give it a little bit of time.
Yeah. So it was kind of interesting. You kind of mentioned it there when I guess Chip came in, said what he had to say, and I guess then he left. Well, I guess he called Martin in the morning and he had told him that he was going to leave. And I guess they end up telling the players shortly after. And I guess, and so we did talk to Martin Jarman. The media was able to talk to him for about 15 minutes, a couple hours after the whole announcement kind of came out. Martin had said that he did give him 96 hours, which I kind of did some quick math on. I looked it up online, what 96 hours was from that point in time. And it was kind of like somewhere around like Tuesday at noon. So if he stays true to what the 96 hours is, by Tuesday at noon, they should have a new coach announced.
That's a crazy number to say, too. Like,
it's a random number to say, but
like, not even like he already no. That's why I kind of understand why people are, you know, skeptical on the, you know, what's going on, the conspiracies, because you say give me 96 hours and it comes out to Tuesday at noon. Yeah, you probably have something lined up, because you would be like, give us, you know, a few days, maybe like give us a week, like, to sort something out. But you say give me 96 hours and it lines up to a time, they're like, okay, it might be a press conference, like, already set up for Tuesday at 12. So yeah, that is kind of sus.
So, so the one thing I'll say to that is when DeBoer left Washington and then Jed left Arizona to go to Washington, the Arizona AD said, give me 48 hours. So he did his in 48 hours, which is even crazier. So I thought 96 hours, I was like, okay, it's not 48 hours, but it's also random as heck. I was like, I don't, but the thing is, so Martin also said, he said, we were not caught off guard. He said, we were not caught off guard. We were prepared and ready for this. So as soon as the call happened, it didn't.
He was taking interviews. So come on.
So that's the thing. So what else is Martin supposed to do? That doesn't mean he already started interviewing people or had it like figured out, but he had to have had a short list. Like, he had to have names that he wants. And again, maybe that's why, you know, you saw some of the departures that had happened, right? Maybe things, they kind of knew that Chip was out. Martin had to have known Chip was out if others knew that Chip was going to be out, right? So, you know, as soon as I saw Foster leave for the Raiders, I was like, oh, Chip's gone. But I thought at the time that Chip was going to the NFL at that time. So it's all crazy how it kind of played out. But Martin, just his, the vibe he had on the Zoom call with us for the media. I don't want to say he looked stressed, but he didn't look, you know, it's kind of, you're going through a coaching.
He didn't look like he regularly is.
Yeah, no, he did not look like the regular Martin Jarman. There was no smile. Some of the energy's gone, you know, but I mean, rightfully so. I mean, you can't be totally excited about everything that's going on. I do want to read a quote real quick that Martin Jarman said when he was asked about kind of the timing of it, because this is very kind of bad timing with a lot of the coaching moves already being made. Now UCLA's.
I was going to talk about that when you asked me how I really feel about everything.
Yeah, well, we can get to that in a minute. But after I say his quote here, then you can go ahead and follow up with what you're going to say to that. But Martin said, timing is a challenge. I'll be honest. Timing is a challenge. But anytime you go through a coaching change or a search, there's never a good time. That's life. So we aren't going to focus on that. We're going to focus on doing what we need to do to get the next leader of this program. So, yeah, he announced some guys and girls who are going to be kind of helping him as the executive team for this search. You know, and he said he just kind of expressed like some confidence when talking to us and just said, hey, we know we're going to do well in this search. And he said, you know, we know that we're the only ones currently looking for a head coach at the moment, but there was confidence there that they're going to get it done, which again, maybe leads into what you're saying of, hey, maybe they have an idea of who it might be, but when you hear about the timing, you kind of mentioned it there. What are your thoughts on just the timing of it all?
I mean, it goes back to, I feel like Chip kind of won, you know, Chip, this is, I say he, say he was, I mean, like the relationship is him and UCLA. Like if your girl starts telling you like you need, like we, you know, you suck, we don't like you, you're not doing X, Y, and Z, it's continued, and like that's just not you, and like she doesn't understand what you're going through in such a situation. That was UCLA fans and UCLA and the donors. They're just telling Chip everything, you know, all this and all that, and he's getting threatened to get broken up with. I feel like when you're just getting threatened to you know, broken up with, it's like, you know, I have to start looking around, because it's like, if you break up with me, I'm not gonna just you know, have nobody. So he started going on his interviews, and you know,
yep.
And I think at that point, like, he you know, he's like, you're not gonna break up with me, so I'm gonna take my time. I'm gonna do what's best for me and what I want, and that's what he did. And in that process, he eliminated all the other candidates that she could get with. Like he's seen all those other guys go with different people. So I mean,
yeah,
literally everybody that the fans wanted, and you were seeing those names on Twitter early, they all got different jobs. DeBoer went to Alabama, yeah. And then everybody wanted Fish. Fish goes to UW. People wanted Coach Brandon. Coach Brandon goes to Arizona.
They wanted Jonathan Smith. He went to Michigan State. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Jonathan Smith, Coach Ken, now is San Jose, even if they wanted him. And that's why Chip ultimately won. He is able now to go and only have to worry about the offense, the quarterback room, which is very small.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Five, six guys max.
Right.
He probably only has to recruit a quarterback, doesn't have to recruit like that. Like, so recruiting's out. NIL, he doesn't have to worry about. He doesn't have to worry about running all the meetings and all the stress of that. The pay is probably similar, similar to what he was already getting. And he's still going to the Big Ten, and he's going to a situation that's more set up, and he could be the reason that takes Ohio State over the hump of beating Michigan. And it's just like,
imagine
everything is perfect for him. It's all compatible. It's all he won. Mm-hmm. He got the girl he wanted and left his ex in shambles, trying to scatter and figure out life without him. And then he's going to look back like, dang, we had something good and we just couldn't figure it out. And I to go back to, I feel like we got finessed, but at the same time, it's like, when they let Mora go, which as players, we didn't think he should have been let go. And then even after that, we wanted Coach Fish. And we were hearing like they're going to make a big hire, like a big name. And we like as players, like that sounds cool, but like we already know what Fish can do. We already know what Fish as a guy, like what he, you know, we liked our trajectory of how we were. Like we just know that we needed to tighten things up on defense and we would have been like a good team. So then when they brought in Chip, like it was like back to square one, you know what I'm saying? Right. And like the rebuild, which was like a grind and a process when I feel like if we would have kept Fish, we would have been up, keep going. So like guys like me and the older guys of the Mora kids, like we got screwed because we had to go through a rebuild instead of staying the trajectory that we were at. So right. Going through all the rebuild, all the days of punishment and like not punishment, like for like, you know what I'm saying? Like it was like when you start a new program or something, you kind of like there's punishments to weed guys out. Like there's more strict rules and guidelines and, you know, all the things because they want to see what guys are about and what guys bring to the program and what guys are serious about this.
Right.
So we had, you know, hard training and all this strict stuff. And like we went through the grind and we weren't winning games. And I went out, in my time with Chip, we only won 7 games total. And like we went through all of that for there to be no Pac-12 championship, no Rose Bowl, 1 bowl game win. So it's like ultimately, everything happened for everything we did was for nothing. It was kind of, you know what I'm saying? Where it's like, that's the disappointment of like, we went through all that and we seen, and everything was built for Dorian's 4th and 5th year for UCLA to succeed. And if they win a Pac-12 championship and potentially a Rose Bowl, maybe like everything is different and it didn't happen. But it's like that, the circumstances and everything, that's what I'm saying. It was disappointment and it was almost all for nothing at this point. And now we're back to square one. But I feel like the difference between this square one and last square one was the talent that we carried over from the end of Moore's era and having nationally ranked classes in the top 15 every year, having, you know, the 5 stars we had, the 4 stars we had, you know, guys that had been starting and ready to take on big roles in the program, the leaders that we had built, a lot of that we took into the beginning of Chip's era. I don't really know if it's there right now with the guys, you know, all the guys leaving the program that like we talked about before with Latu, the Murphy, like all the, you know, Darius Masao, like all the senior guys leaving the program. I think whoever comes into this next wave is going to be rough going into the Big Ten, not having the 86th ranked recruiting class, having 18th in the Big Ten ranked recruiting class. That's last. That's behind Rutgers.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that Rutgers can recruit better kids than UCLA, one of the biggest brands in the world? I'm just like, it's disappointing. Like, I don't know what's going to happen, and I think it's going to be a process, and I think usually fans need to understand, like, at this point, like, all you people that want a Chip gone, you better support NIL, you better support whoever comes in, and you can't be mad at the record for the next two years, probably. I would say, like, it'll take at least 2 years to probably turn around the program to maybe even the record and stuff that, you know, that we had this year. Kind of similar to what I feel like Deion's doing with Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
I think this year they're set up to, you know, compete at a higher level. But you've seen last year, I mean, what was happening? Like they still only won, 4 games or something like that?
Yeah. Like 4 or 5, yeah.
And he pretty much had to do what I'm saying is about to get done to this team. We're at a later time. It's already the second sign they already passed. So at this point, I don't know who else, if you can get some transfers, but I think, I mean, might got to get a lot of JUCO players going into this next season.
Well, the one thing that he has going for him is that the one thing that he has going for him is there's still going to be a second transfer portal window, which will allow guys to come in. Ideally, if you're getting a guy from another program, we'll get into some names here in a minute of some potential candidates, but maybe you get some other guys from those programs enter the portal and follow that coach, right? Especially if it's a head coach, maybe you'll see some of that. again, it's a little harder to do because the academic requirement and whatnot. So that might make things a little tough. But the one thing that, unlike with York, even though you guys had a lot of guys leave when Chip came in, this is a situation where there's a 30-day window and anybody can leave. So you went from knowing J. Michael Sturdivant was coming back. You had Ethan Garber say he was coming back. You had Kane Medrano coming back. You had guys that you knew were coming back. Jay Toya looked like he was coming back, right? And now there's a free pass for everyone to leave over the next 30 days and at least enter their name in the portal. All of those guys could be gone. I don't know if every single one of them will be gone, and a lot of it will depend, but they have that 30-day window to at least take advantage of. So if UCLA, they're going to have to start recruiting pretty hard in that transfer portal, however they are able to do that, or whoever's left in the transfer portal. But I think I don't know if there really are any advantages to it happening now. It's a crazy, crazy situation. I'm just trying to think of anything else. I can rattle off a couple names, and I'd love to get your reaction to some of them here as we get through, because I know that was something some of the fans had asked for. They wanted to know who some of your candidates were. So I can read off a couple of them, maybe give you a little bit of what I know about each one, and then you can stop me if there's anybody who stands out to you. Sound good?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So one of the first candidates that I think UCLA should strongly consider. So,
well, these are your candidates, or
these are my candidates, but these are also candidates that I've heard the fans talk about and that are just kind of out there from other multiple outlets as well and stuff, right? So it's kind of just a general list, right? But so first of all, when we were talking to Martin had said that he wanted someone with CEO qualities, right? Someone who's going to understand the new college football landscape, is willing to build relationships with donors, who's going to be willing to recruit, and is going to be willing to navigate and have a understanding and an acknowledgement of what the NIL situation is going to be, right? And just to have all that kind of stuff, and someone who's going to be passionate, that wants to be a Bruin, Martin said, and all that good stuff, right? But then he said that one of the things that he said the players told him they want as far as a quality in their next head coach is someone that is relatable to them, both on and off the field, right? So to me, that automatically says someone who's younger, not Shea Pitts.
No. I said Shade.
Oh, Shade. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Shade. I thought you said Shea Pitts.
That was a jab.
No, yeah, well, I mean, all of what Martin was saying, I don't know if it was intended to be a jab, maybe it could have been, but when he said donor relations, NIL, willing to recruit, and then obviously, you know, someone who wants to be a Bruin and all that stuff, I was like, ooh, I was like, this kind of juicy. When the player said someone who's relatable to them and that they're like, I think they even, I don't have the quote in front of me, but it said like even someone that they can just talk to, right? Like and I was like, okay, kind of interesting. So maybe there was something there.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So some candidates that I have, the first one, and these are in no particular order, but De'Anton Lynn, I think, has to be on that list. You talk about someone who's young, someone who can have the passion, someone who helped. Like, they already know what he can do in a sense, maybe not completely, but he'll have a familiarity with the guys. Part of me would say, oh, he's going to be someone who's going to keep a lot of this roster intact. But at the same time, Josh, tell me if I'm wrong. I don't know if he would if he does get the job, because they've already seen him leave once. What are your thoughts on De'Anton Lynn possibly? And as a player, if you were to see him have, if he had already left you once after 1 year, would you be willing to accept him as your coach? Let alone he went to USC. But would you be willing to take De'Anton Lynn as your coach?
I mean,
it was a top defense, Josh. It was
the type of guy that he seems to be is just like he understands like how the process works of like working your way up, mm-hmm. like the ladder of trying to be. And I imagine he wants to be a head coach. It makes sense for him
to be in the NFL potentially. Yeah,
it makes sense for him to take it, and especially because he was. The money that was one of, if the money was the factor that he said came into mm-hmm. him going to SC because he could double his money as a head coach of the Bruins, his salary that got doubled would double again, at least to be the head coach.
That's why I think he would come back.
So that would get him to come back. Yeah. Like you said, the player situation and saying that he took two of our DBs to SC is, that would be wild because I don't know if they can just come back either. Like,
no, probably not. No,
I don't think he'd, I don't know. I don't think he would do it in this offseason. Like, I think it's too fast to just hop right back over and like everything be cool. It would definitely be awkward for the players. And then it's like, as a player, you want something consistency. If you're going to be there for 3-4 years, you don't want to have to, get a new coach, a new system every year. You want right. some consistency throughout the time. Like, you want culture and tradition and, that whole thing. You want that your entire time at whatever school you are. So I don't think he's in top five right now.
Okay. You don't think he's in the top five? Yeah, I think the only thing not that would be a knock on him is
he just left.
Well, yeah, if he has one or two good seasons, the NFL comes calling and he's going to go. Because, again, that's more money.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, he's known to jump around and, he mm-hmm. wants where he wants to get to. So it's like, you're not going to have a long-term solution.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be kind of year to year with him. So definitely. And like you said, someone who understands how to move up. I mean, his father was the former Chargers coach, Anthony Lynn. So he knows how the coaching kind of cycle and stuff works. So he gets it. So just a name to keep out there. Another name that a lot of fans are throwing out there, a lot of people are throwing out there, Tony White. I don't know if you're familiar with Tony White at all, but he's a UCLA alum. He's currently the associate head coach and the defensive coordinator at Nebraska. He's going to be entering. He spent just 1 year. So much like De'Anton Lynn had only been at his current place for 1 year. So if he leaves, he would only have been at Nebraska for 1 year. He was previously at Syracuse, if I'm not mistaken. But interesting note. UCLA wasn't in the mix for very few was only in the mix for like one or two guys on this last signing day period earlier this week. One of them was an edge rusher from Arizona, and it came down to Nebraska and UCLA, and the kid chose Nebraska. And part of that to his credit, from what he told a reporter out there for Nebraska, was all the stuff in the news about Chip Kelly kept him away. Cause he said he wanted to go to UCLA, but the stuff about Chip kind of turned him away from it. So he ends up going to Tony White. Now, I think Tony White is a strong candidate. I mean, and that's just kind of us in the media talking. That's just the fans talking. Will Martin Jarman actually reach out, or will Tony White actually reach out and inquire about the job? Kind of remains to be seen, but I think he's probably a top three contender. I guess apparently he was someone that was highly sought after in the kind of the coaching cycle carousel at some point early on this offseason, but decided to stay at Nebraska. But now that your alma mater is open, maybe he considers that. Are you familiar with Tony White at all? Does that ring a bell? I think he was a linebacker as well.
I've heard the name, but I'm not, you know, super familiar. But if, I mean, if he can recruit, like it sounds like if he can recruit kids, relate to him. I think that, I mean, the biggest thing for whoever comes in, like Martin has said though, like NIL and like the CEO thing of knowing how to run a bit, because it's like, it's bigger than just the X's and O's of football now. Like you need to be able to recruit. So understanding the transfer portal, understanding NIL and relating to kids and what they want these days are going to be the biggest things, because UCLA needs to get back to having a top 15 recruiting class every year. There's no reason why, you know, UCLA football shouldn't be up there every year. With, we're in LA, we're one of the biggest brands in the world, one of the most sought after universities for regular students. You know what I'm saying? Why are we not getting people that were like, I feel like earlier on, like before NIL and you know, in my recruiting process and the classes before me, it was like people like wanted to come to UCLA so bad. Like people were getting turned away from coming to UCLA. Like if you were a top whatever recruit, like UCLA was usually in your top 10.
Right.
And you would see it on every signing day that like UCLA was somewhere in the mix, you know.
I don't even see UCLA on a graphic anymore. There'll be 50 schools on the graphic and UCLA is not one of them. I'm like, what the heck is going on?
Yeah, we got it. There's some things that need to be, you know, changed, especially being in the Big Ten if we want to compete.
Real quick, side note, I was on the Twitter spaces today with some of the fans of the UCLA, obviously, and I think they said Joe Mixon, the guy who's the running back with the Bengals, who was at
Oklahoma.
I guess did he not? I think someone said that he had UCLA in his like his top five or something. Do you know anything about that? I don't remember what year he was.
He's a class ahead of me, I think. But at the time, there's so many people that have come on official visits, like. Or like had UCLA like was really considering, like I remember like one of the games I came to, like Josh Rose introduced me to Christian Kirk while Christian Kirk was on his official. Like I said, like on my official it was me, Roquan Smith, and Keyshawn Lucius South. So like if you look back, like there's a lot of guys that like had were coming UCLA officials and like had us to the end, like in their top five, like a lot of the top guys, a lot of NFL talent. And Bijan Robinson, it's probably like when Chip had first started coming around, Bijan Robinson took an official or unofficial UCLA. Like there's pictures of him, you know, taking pictures in the uniform.
In the uniform? Really? I haven't seen that. Okay. Interesting. I'll have to go and look for that. Before we get to this next alumni, actually, real quick, I meant to ask you this earlier. Are you able to share, is there any sort of pulse of what the alumni are saying, some of your former teammates? Like, what are the guys saying? Like, are you hearing back from anybody? What is the group chat like? I'm assuming there's a group chat.
In the alum chat, I mean, guys are kind of upset with the state of the program right now, as far as, like I said, we don't know what's going on. And I know a lot of guys are trying to reach out to Martin Jarman and try to do things to help out. I would say the majority of the alum are behind Deshaun Foster to get the head coach position. Majority of the alum is supporting Coach Foster to get. So I don't know what's going to happen, but that's definitely the energy that is going on behind the scenes. And kind of upset with the situation with Martin and all that. And everybody just wants UCLA to be great again, like wants to be able to compete for championships, be able to, you know, have winning seasons, go to big bowl games, win, like, and trying to, I think everybody's trying to figure out where they can help out now and like contribute. So, yeah, we'll see how that shakes out.
Gotcha. And since you mentioned Foster, he was next on the list, a former All-American running back and also a Tustin alum. Did go to UCLA, has been on the coaching staff since 2017. Was at Texas Tech for a year or so, and then I think he had started as a student assistant at UCLA, but did come back in 2017 and has been there ever since. Has helped develop running backs, especially one in each of the last 4 years of the NFL draft, or go and be drafted in the NFL draft. He had just left earlier this month and took a job with the Las Vegas Raiders as the running back coach there, reunites with Britton Brown, one of those four running backs that I mentioned that was drafted here in the last 4 years. But one of the things I said is there have been some former players that are some current players on the roster. A lot of the running backs that Deshaun Foster helped recruit and was responsible for that were showing their support out there for Deshaun Foster. So we'll see what happens with Foster, if they're able to bring him back or what the situation is there. It remains to be seen. But I'll get two more names in here real quick. And then we'll get to some questions from those who sent us in some questions on Twitter before we kind of wrap things up. One for me real quick, David Shaw, obviously maybe not necessarily an younger guy, but a guy with some head coaching experience, someone I have as a long shot to get the job, but he is familiar with the program. He has been going there. And I've seen him in the parking lot getting ready to walk into the LA Bowl game against Boise State. I saw him go inside the gate for practice. He was there at practice on campus. His son, Carter Shaw, walked on as a receiver this past season. So he's there. So there's a little familiarity there with David Shaw and Westwood. Shaw did interview for both head coaching jobs with the Chargers and the Titans. So clearly maybe trying to get back into the coaching ranks here, but just a name I wanted to throw out there. And then Akaika Maloy, the current defensive coordinator who took over after De'Anton Lynn left. He was just elevated early in July after spending the past two seasons as the defensive line coach. And then he helped rally the Bruins and put together a strong third quarter there to win the LA Bowl, as I mentioned. He is 49 years old. But as I was kind of listening to these guys, and, you know, maybe they're not on the younger end, but there's some qualities to them that can relate back to the current roster or the younger generation of guys. And it made me think of our conversation with Carl Jones when I asked him, what are they getting in a defensive coordinator as Maloy, as a defensive coordinator? And he says, someone who's passionate, someone who has that energy, and obviously a guy who knows a thing or two of bringing some guys in, was responsible for helping bring Latu in and whatnot. So I think Akaika Maloy has to at least be considered. And again, if they bring in De'Anton Lynn, if they bring in Tony White, some of these other defensive minded guys, I think that's a tough draw there for Maloy if he's not coaching the defense next year. So some other names, PJ Fleck, the current Minnesota coach, Eric Bieniemy, who is a former offensive coordinator for the Chiefs and was recently with the Commanders before they let go of head coach Ron Rivera, was a running backs coach and a recruiting coordinator back in the day from 2003 to 2005 at UCLA. So has some ties to UCLA, did play at Bishop Aumont, so he's a local guy. Brennan Marion is another guy, the offensive coordinator and the quarterbacks coach for UNLV. I guess he's been held in high regard as one of the top assistants in college football, and also someone who's pretty innovative on offense. So an offensive name there. I also have Chris Peterson on the list, who was the former Washington coach, is from Northern California, works for Fox Sports, which I believe they kind of, you know, film or they record stuff in LA. So I think he's in LA, but just a guy who would be familiar with the California recruiting scene, as someone who was recruiting California when he was at Boise State and at Washington. So just a couple of names to throw out there. There's probably a few others that I didn't mention, but just wanted to run through that list real quick. Anyone else real quick there that I mentioned, or anyone come to mind for you that I may have missed?
I would say, I mean, of course, who I think and who I want to be the next head coach is Deshaun Foster. Mm-hmm. Nobody, I feel like, cares for the program or the kids more than him. I think there's a reason why he stuck around as long as he did, because he's one of the best running back coaches in the country. He definitely could have left if he wanted to, I think, for a while. And I believe the only reason that he was around was to try to be the head coach. And maybe that's why he went to the Raiders, because he wasn't appointed the opportunity. And like I said, one of the best recruiting wise. He's all the things that Martin mentioned. He is that. And he's all those things. Relates to the kids. I know the players want him. Understands the portal, and he's real with that. I mean, he was in the league, so he understands the business and how free agency and all that type of stuff works, because that's ultimately what it's turned into. NIL, like, his name is big with donors. Pretty much everybody knows him, you know, for what he's been able to do.
He was just put in the UCLA Hall of Fame recently.
Exactly, and his ties and his connections are big. And at one point, he was our player development guy, so his ties are big, just, you know, in LA in general and across, you know, the league professionally. He's done so much. And I think one of the biggest things that Martin can do is listen to the players as far as who they want. And there's a reason why his name is being circulated by all the players. I mean, current and past. And why a lot of guys came to UCLA. And clearly he was the bright spot and the most successful in Chip's run and in these, you know, past few years. So Coach Foster has my vote, and, you know, hopefully something's been able to work out. But I mean, I'm supportive of whoever gets it as a UCLA alum and fan. And a name that I think wasn't mentioned, but I think should be taken into consideration, is Ken Norton Jr. His experience and, you know, come from the league. He understands how that works. And from what I've heard from the guys that are in his room and have worked alongside, like, he's a great guy. They love the energy that he brings. So I think that's a name that should also be in consideration, or else if they want to be different. I don't think the big name draw is ultimately the answer. I think it's what's going to be is, you know, either somebody young and, you know, relatable and understands how it is currently. I don't think somebody coming in and bringing old tradition is going to help UCLA football, because we don't, you know, we don't have the infrastructure of Alabama or, you know, one of those type programs where everything is kind of already set up. You know, you're going to get the top guys or the top, you know, booster club can buy any kid, you know, type situation. It's going to take some work. So whoever comes in has to, you know, definitely want to stick around, and definitely want to build something up and understand what it means to be a Bruin. So if Martin doesn't, I mean, have a guy ready, that's definitely, I feel like, what he needs to think about. But I mean, I guess we'll see. I mean, how many hours is it? It's probably about under 90 hours now.
Yeah, definitely under 90 hours. But yeah, let's hit some of these questions here real quick. Of course, you can follow us on Twitter. I have our Twitter handles there in the description of this podcast episode. We'll start with a question from Chris Gorham. He wanted to ask you, how do you think the players feel right now? We kind of talked about it right now earlier as we started the episode. But kind of what was kind of going through your mind as things were happening? Do you feel a little betrayed, or, you know, would you be feeling a little betrayed or anything along those lines? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I would say, but in a way, betrayed. But like I said, it's kind of what the program kind of gets for allowing it to come to this. As far as if you knew that he was leaving, not being more aggressive earlier, and or not firing him when there was previous moments where that has come up, and to keep him, you imagine that he'd stay. But as soon as you know that he had interest of leaving and was taking interviews, you should have known then that, you know, it's time to make a change. And like I said, having all of the main suitors gone, I think is the thing that kind of bothered me the most.
No doubt about it. So we did have some questions from Chris, Jack, Jesse, and Travis, and then also Captain Insano. I'm not going to get to everyone's questions just because we kind of answered some of them, but I wanted to give all those folks a shout out. But I do want to get to Travis's question. He says, Josh, you've been on both sides of this kind of situation. Would you recommend UCLA hire a Mora type who was younger, full of piss and vinegar and fire? Or would you rather have a more reserved coach like Chip? And then he said, what do you think would benefit UCLA right now? Maybe more of an offensive coach or a defensive coach? So let's just start. Would you want someone like Chip or someone like Mora? Not that you're specifically saying which one of those two is better for you, but just for what you need right now for UCLA and this current kind of landscape, who do you think, whose mold do you think would fit better for what UCLA may need here?
A little bit of everything. I mean, I think he needs that young fire that Mora had, along with the structure and the I think there's the innovative, you know, styles of Coach Kelly. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the things that we've already kind of named the checklist of things that they need to have. It's like you have to be understanding of NIL and what's going on in this landscape. That's like number one. And then number two is the players being able to relate to them and understand them in like the players saying, like being able to have conversations with them, being open to just how kids are these days. I mean, times have changed, you know what I'm saying? Like the whole mental health, like there's a lot of other things that factor in, you know, to player decision, how they feel comfortable with their coach. I would say one of the things that I loved about Moore was his door was always open, and it's almost every day you could see somebody probably in there laying on the couch, even if Moore was even in there. But it was like that comfortability with him of, you know, being able to just go in his office and say whatever to him was just always cool.
Was Mora more of a defensive guy or an offensive guy?
Defensive guy.
Okay. So you kind of had some of both there. Part of me, I personally think, so the other part of Travis's question, he said, would you go rather with more of a defensive or offensive, a defensive coach or an offensive coach? I wouldn't, I think, If you're going in with no staff and you can keep Malloy, Ken Norton Jr., Cody Whitfield, and that whole defensive staff, like your whole defensive staff is still kind of there. If you could just get someone on offense that could bring in some offensive guys, I think maybe you'd be a little bit built better for success. Because if you bring a Tony White in, if you bring maybe not D'Anton Lynn, because maybe he'll like some of the guys he had on the defensive staff there already. But if you start fresh with a defensive guy like a Tony White, you're having to bring in all new coaches, more or less. Maybe you keep one or two. Maybe you keep Norton. Maybe you keep Jerry Neuheisel. But like you gotta bring in a lot of new people. But what do you think? What do you think they need? Offensive guy, defensive guy, or does it kind of not matter in the grand scheme of things?
I mean, I just want a coach that, you know, the energy and the level headed, the decision making, like those things are most important to me. Like a coach that will have you wanting to run through a wall for him, and like, you know, that his job is on the line of how you're doing. You know what I'm saying? I almost like a coach that isn't overly involved in either. Like, right. I don't want a head coach that's pretty much running our offense or running our defense. Those things aren't, like, that's one of the things that I like on my team currently at CFL, that the head coach lets the coordinators run it, you know what I'm saying? Do what they do. He ultimately makes like the bigger decisions and helps manage the game, but he allows the coordinators to do their jobs and really run it. And he doesn't, you know, overstep or anything, but he makes sure that the players are taken care of and the energy is there. And those are the biggest things. I think we needed somebody that like is relatable and keeps the, you know, the mindset of the team where it needs to be. And let your coordinators bring in, and that's what I'm saying. You could bring in the young, you know, masterminds of a OC or, you know, letting them do things. So I mean, I don't really care if it's an offensive or defensive coach. Except, I mean, the reason you're saying of like, how they're going to bring in guys that could be, you know, could change. If players want to stay or leave, that could definitely affect it. If, you know, you bring an offensive guy, new OC, and then Jerry leaves, and it's like maybe that was the coach that, you know, some of the receivers wanted to play for. So, like, that's where it can factor in. But, yeah.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It should be interesting times for sure. We'll continue talking about Chip Kelly and this coaching search. Well, maybe not so much Chip Kelly. Maybe we'll still talk a little bit about Chip Kelly. But, we'll definitely continue to talk about the coaching search. As always, I'll keep you guys up to date on everything going on Twitter regarding the coaching search. As I hear it, I'll be sure to tweet it out. But yeah, thanks for giving us your time, Josh. I know it's the off season for you, so you're kind of busy doing other things. But we'll definitely be talking soon. And I guess thanks to Martin Jarman, we'll probably end up having a podcast either on Tuesday or Wednesday. So, anything else for the folks at home before we wrap things up?
Like I said, this is what a lot of people wanted, so they need to be supportive of this process. No matter what happens next, no matter who they bring in, for all the people that wanted Chip gone, this is like your time to be supportive. We need the collectives. We need the NIL stuff needs to go up regardless. We're about to go into the Big Ten, and that's one area where fans, alumni, and donors can contribute to the success of this team by giving to those collectives and help, you know, support the talent we have and also bring in some reinforcements.
All right. You heard the man. Make sure you follow what Josh said, and things will be okay with this program. So I'm interested to see how all of this is going to happen. I'm just like, how are they going to be with the media? Yada, yada, yada. So I'm just thinking about all that kind of stuff. But anyways, for Josh and myself, thank you guys as always for tuning in and listening. And as always, we'll catch you guys in the next one. Thank you, everybody. This is the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast presented by Bet Online.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.